stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Picayune, Mississippi. Listen, it is such an honor to be with you tonight. And listen, this is the month of January, and we are celebrating at We Are the Bride Ministries for 1 year of highlighting other ministries and highlighting what God is doing in other people's lives across the world. We have interviewed over 200 ministers, and we give God the glory for that. Amen. We believe that God has a mission for every one of us, and we shall fulfill that mission in unity. Amen. Check us out on the web at watbradio.com. We are also on Twitter at watbradio. Now, today, we are so honored. This month, we've been basically interviewing revivalists. Today, we are highlighting some apostolic revivalists from San Antonio, Texas, Auburn and Tahisa Harris from Metro Fire Missions-Based Revival Hub. Amen. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yes, we are so honored to have you on here. God loves Texas. Amen.
Yes, he does.
We hear Texas is considering seceding from the nation again. We love Texas. Don't leave us, okay? Anyways, I'm going to read a little bit of his bio, and then we're going to talk to him about his life story. Here we go. Okay, they are a missions-based designed to train and send people into the world to do what Jesus did to change the world. They have been in operation for over 10 years in San Antonio. They are an extension of the River to the Nations community. River to the Nations is an apostolic prophetic ministry of apostles, Auburn and Tahisa Harris. There are three major goals of RTTN. The first is to be a facilitator of global transformation through the reformation of the local church and various spheres of society. Secondly, it provides apostolic prophetic foundations for ministries who are a part of this reforming movement. Thirdly, RTTN provides cutting-edge ministry products and services to the body of Christ at large that will allow global transformation. The missions base is the base camp for the apostolic operations in the region. It is spearheading an apostolic prophetic movement. Metro Fire Missions Base is the vehicle through which it is being launched into the cities and nations we have been sent to. Its purpose is to train and mobilize the people of the region for a great move of God in their city and their nation. Amen, because you're sitting there saying, now, the average church today, they just want people to come in and to help build their vision. But what you're saying, we are apostolic. We want to bring you in and rise you up and send you out because we want to transform the world.
Amen. Amen. That's our heart to see that done.
Thank you, amen. God.
I mean, we really want to see people really, you know, do what Jesus did, you know, and and get out there and really manifest that. And we feel like that that's going to be, I mean, that's the key to our cities changing, our neighborhoods, our nation changing, is changing the world.
Well, if you don't mind sharing with the bride, what is your story like? What did God do to save you and then to bring you to where you're at?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home, right? I was raised in Virginia. I'm from Virginia. Actually, I'm from Virginia, the Virginia Beach area. And so I was raised in a church, Rock Church in Virginia Beach with John and Ann Jimenez. And so we were raised in that church. My parents were believers in the 70s. Got saved during the Jesus movement period of time there. And so I grew up in a church that went, I guess from, you know, they went from 50 to 60 people to, you know, 5,000 people, 200-300 churches.
Wow.
Globally. So I was involved in, and I saw moves of God. I saw the Holy Spirit touch people. I saw, you know, churches expand, things of that nature. But my parents were also a part of the ministry. So, you know, as a kid, you also see a lot of the back end stuff too. You know what I mean? You hear a lot of stuff. You see a lot of things. But my viewpoint of the church was that, you know, it was a place of God's presence. But I got around my senior year of high school on into going into college. I started just kind of just going my own way, just being worldly. I wasn't against the Lord. I wasn't against the church or anything of that nature. I didn't have any anger or things of that nature. This worldliness and wanting to experience what everybody else was experiencing, the worldliness and things of that nature. My first year of college, I was just really out there just doing my own thing and just living pretty much a sinful life, you know what I mean? My mom gave me a prophetic word, and she said, this year you're going to find your wife. And I'm thinking, this is going to be in college, you know what I mean? So I'm looking at a college campus. Is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? I actually met her during a period of time of Thanksgiving break. My brother said, hey, you know, I met this girl. She's real cool. Her sisters are my friends. She's two twin sisters, and they're my friend. I want you to meet her. So I met her. I didn't even really like her. We didn't really click or get along or anything of that nature. So I happened to transfer back to my hometown at that time. I was going to college in North Carolina, and I couldn't find a job anywhere. I couldn't, how the Lord boxes you in. And so I was pretty much boxed in. And so I had to go to this specific school transfer, and I had to, and I worked at this one place. And she went to that school, and she worked in that place. And God orchestrated the circumstances, and we met, and we started dating, and we really felt like the Lord wanted us to be together. But prior to that, you know, I was in a meeting. This is really important for me right here, this part right here. I was in this meeting, and the preacher was talking about not going to the promised land, the children of Israel not making it to the promised land. Like, they got all the way up to the gate and couldn't go in. And he's talking about all these believers that God has a purpose on their life, and that because of, you know, the way they came, they would not fulfill their purpose in life. And that really struck a chord in me. And I was like, man, I don't want to be that person, but I knew how I was living. You know what I mean? So I knew I was living not like a person who's going into the promised land. You know what I mean? So I really that day did it. I said, God, I want that. I don't want to wait till I'm 30 years old, broke up, or 40 years old and broke up to live for you. I'm going to live for you now. And I made a decision.
Come on now.
I was 19 years old at the time. God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to run for you. I'm going to burn for you for the rest of my life. And at that time, that's when I really saw my wife. I mean, we worked together. We went to school together. But that's when I really, like, it's like my eyes opened. Like you know, I really saw it. And so then we started, you know, dating, and we really felt like the Lord wanted us to be together. And we got married. I mean, after 6 months, we got married. And I went into the military. And so when I went into the military from there, and we went all over the world from there, it was about 8 year period, about 7-8 year period of time we spent in the military. We really went all over the world, lived in Europe. And during that period of time, you know, God really, you know, gave us great opportunities to minister to his people. We pastored a church in Europe that had 21 different nations. I was only 23 years old at the time. Some weird circumstances happened, and the Lord opened doors for us everywhere we went. And as we were going through this stage, right, as we were going to these different places and things of that nature, and my wife's parents, they're pioneer church pioneers. So, you know, that she grew up in that. I grew up in church. So it really, God really gave me not only a wife, but a great partner in ministry, you know.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
So that was something that was so amazing. But what we saw is we saw so much hunger, so many people not experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they would go to church, we'd be in churches and places of that nature, and they wouldn't experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we really began to, very early in our ministry, seek God's presence, seek the Lord, seek His face. We said, God, this is, I mean, in Exodus it says that the presence of God is the distinguishing mark that God is with us. And so, you know, we really begin to really spend hours in intercession and prayer and worship and seeking the face of God and just really cultivating lives that honor Him in intimacy and going after Him and teaching people to do that. And the congregations that we led over the years, in that first part of our years, you know, we really sought God, prayers, and we saw so many amazing things. But we begin to see that even though people were seeking the Lord and in the presence of God, there was more, right? That God wanted us to come from that place to do His work. You know what I mean? And so it really developed over the years. And so we landed, fast forwarded, we landed 10 years ago in San Antonio. The Lord spoke to me. I was in a real difficult part of my life, just asking God, when are you going to do what you said you're going to do? You know what I mean? And you're waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you. I told you to go to San Antonio.
Right.
Yeah, so I ended up going to San Antonio and just really seeking the Lord for what He wanted to do. And that's where we started River to the Nations, and we started the missions base. And so we thought God wanted an outpouring of the Spirit to come. And we knew that He had to do pressing in, things of that nature. And so we had started a ministry school, and we're taking those students through that, and we had some attempts, because we wanted to start a 24-hour, 7 days a week place of prayer. And so the first two or three tries, it just failed. I mean, you know, we'd get like 3 days in, and then it just fall to pieces or not work out, things of that nature. And I went to a conference that I was doing, and my wife was teaching the interns, and she just started praying with them. They prayed through the night. And then we just started from there, just started building up and building up. And it just started, you know, over the weekend and then the next day, it just kept building and building and building and building until there was like 24 hours, 7 days a week coverage. God just really gave us the wisdom how to do it. And that's what started this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's 24 hours, 7 days a week, prayer, worship, seeking the face of God, the ministry school students. And it just began to open up, and we started having these attractive meetings. We started having these meetings every day. We started coming together every day. We started meeting every day. And that 24 hours, 7 days a week praying just went for 5 years.
Yeah.
We had people coming from all over the city, all just everywhere to be touched by what God was doing. And it was just a great experience to see the faithfulness of God to His word. And, you know, if you seek His faith, you will find Him. And so we've been in that place now where the outpouring is growing. God is doing more things. It's extending out. We're wanting to see the new crop of leaders take it and do what God's wanting to do with them in it. And that's pretty much, you know, where we are right now.
I got you. Well, I tell you, like I said when we did that live broadcast, one thing about y'all that I've noticed, like when you look at your website, is you allow the freedom of expression in your peoples. And the reason I say that is I've been in churches that, not saying y'all are a church, but in churches that really restrict expression of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean is, when a person is free, it's when you worship, it reflects that. You know, it's like every bit of your being is in your expression of worship. So a lot of people don't like taking pictures of that and letting other people see it, because sometimes it looks ugly to the world if they don't understand the anointing. Do you hear my heart?
Yeah, I definitely.
Like when you're crying out to God, it's like your face is so raw, you know, raw before the Lord. But what I've noticed in society is that we want real. People want real. That's right. Why Stephanie Frizzell is so popular like she is. She gets right. up there, she worships, and she's so raw about it. You know, people like that, and she's not looking pretty when she's worshiping. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But she don't care, because it's her and him. And that's what people like. They don't care about the pretty. They want the real.
Right.
You get my heart on that, brother.
Yes, I definitely do. You know, one of the things I tell the guys at the missionaries, I said, you know, if you look at sport, okay, and you look at the athlete, not the people who are spectators, the people who are actually doing the activity, they're sweating, they're falling on the ground, they're bleeding, they're intense about the activity that they're involved in. You know what I mean? And so I say, guys, we can either be one of two people. We can be the spectators on the side with the popcorn, the candy, the nice hair, the clothes that we came there to see, came there with, or we could be the people on the playing field doing the work, sweating, going after it, making it happen.
Exactly, you know? Yes.
So the church is supposed to be the light of the world, right? And so
that's right.
We're in the center of the world, and the world is looking at us. We're not the spectators. We're the one that they came to see so that they what to do. And so that means that there's an intensity about our pursuit, and there's an intensity in our love for the Lord and what he's doing. The other thing I tell them this is that it's also intercessory. Okay? So we are crying out for the crack addict that doesn't know to cry out and doesn't have the ability to cry out. We're crying out for that man that's dying of cancer. We're crying out for we right now are that. We are those people in our priestly ministry. We're the ones standing in between that in our city, in our nation. So it should look like I'm crying out for the crack addict, because if my intensity isn't greater than the crack that controls them, how do I? The breakthrough to come for their lives. So there's an intensity, because there's a realness about what we're doing and what we believe God does through it.
Well, we're going to move on a little bit. If you don't mind, I know y'all are located in San Antonio, Texas. Now, to people that don't know where is that located in the state?
Okay, well, that's located on the northwest side of San Antonio. It's actually 6401 Bandera. It's right in outside of the Loop. If you know San Antonio, you come in and it's Bandera, and you can see once you get on Bandera outside of the Loop, you'll see it maybe a mile in off the right side of the road there.
But I mean, where is San Antonio, Texas? Is it on the south part of Texas, north, or what?
Yeah, it's on the northwest side.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, well, let me ask you this. What is God doing in your ministry there? Like, what are you focusing on, raising up training or what?
You know, the season that we're in now is that we have a crop of leaders that are ready to take hold of the reins and move it to the next level and move it to the next place. God has, and so we're in a time where they are feeling the weight of that responsibility. You know, sometimes when you're looking at it from the outside, or you're just helping along with the process, you don't really feel the full weight of the responsibility. But they're feeling that weight now, because we're still ministering and doing the things that we're doing, but they're handling a lot of the responsibility and the discipleship and the leadership training and the evangelism and the things of that nature. So we're really trying to get them acclimated to being people who haven't just enjoyed revival and have been transformed by, but are carriers of it. And the weight of responsibility is, you know, it's more than just being a person who worships. I mean, you got to be a person who can deal with the issues and things that people bring to the table and have the wisdom of God and the strategy of God to connect with leaders in the city and then have a visibility in the city and things of that nature. So they're learning those kind of things. So that's what we're really focusing in. Those guys, really, the responsibility that comes upon people when we want to really carry God's glory in our generation.
Gotcha. Well, I praise God for what he's doing in your ministry. I praise God for those leaders that are ready to take it to the next level, because we're going to need these people. You know, that's a good sign of a leader when you can train people to take your place even when you're not there.
Yeah.
You know, we always want to raise up people that are better. We want them to be better than us. Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, let me ask you this. You said you have been operating in San Antonio now for 10 years. Have you seen a change in your culture over the past 10 years based upon all the seeds that y'all are sowing in the atmosphere?
You know, I have seen a tremendous change in San Antonio, and I know it's not just our ministry. I mean, it's something really happening in the city. I feel like we're a part of it, especially in the aspect of prayer and what God has allowed us to be in prayer. But, we have a real target audience that God has really given us a heart for, and we've really seen a large impact in the young adult, the millennials of our generation and the young adult couples. And those people, we've really seen them grown and being raised up. But in the city, there's so many ministries in our city that are going after God in that way, and we're just seeing changes from the political level all the way down.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Some of the grassroots ministry areas. So I mean, God's really doing something. You know, 10, 15 years ago, God told me that he was going to send fire and revival to the city of San Antonio. And, you know, and I'm just glad to be a part of what he's doing in that reality. But there's tremendous changes happening.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, Lord, because we all know our battle's not with flesh and blood. Amen.
Amen.
When y'all are in this city for 10 years and you're plowing in the spirit and you're tearing down strongholds and you're taking your dominion and your authority, it's going to reflect. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of prayer. Hallelujah. Okay, listen, I'm going to ask you your opinion. We ask all of the people on the broadcast, if you had 5 minutes to talk to the American bride about current day events, whether it be a prophetic word or whether it be an encouraging word or a correction or rebuke, what would you say to the bride about what is going on today in America?
You know, I would say two things. I would say that, you know, we all pray, right? I would say we all pray. I think prayer is such an important thing. I think it's so important.
Yes, Lord.
For the church to begin to be engaged in. I think that we're so focused on what happens in the White House in Washington, D.C., that we've forgotten that the Bible says that man looks to a king for justice or for an audience, but justice comes from the Lord. I mean, we have an
audience. Come on now. The throne. Amen.
The audience of God. But yet, there's nothing wrong with political action and things of that nature. But we have a vantage point. I mean, we can seek the face of God and get God to move. And I tell you guys this statement all the time, that prayer shapes the destiny of men and nations. And it's the most important influence in any generation. And if we would begin to set our face and seek the face of God, not just as an action, but as a place where our hearts are responsive to receive instruction and revelation, that for what God wants to happen in our nation would turn.
Yeah.
But we haven't set our face to hear the voice of the Lord, to do those things that God has called us to do. The second thing I would say is that we are not moving in obedience. We're not doing the things that the Scripture has shared with us the type of lifestyle we're supposed to have, the type of responsiveness to the poverty and different things of that nature. So we're waiting for government or big ministry or things of that nature when every believer has an opportunity to act. We have an opportunity at the grassroots level through our obedience to God's word to shift the atmosphere, to make the world better just through our obedience. And so if we get obedient and compliant to God's word and really hungry for the things that God wants to see happen in our own personal lives, in our neighborhoods, and each person would take that responsibility, we would see massive transformation.
Come on now. Amen. Yes, we would.
That would be revival.
Yeah, it would. I love it. Yes, well, let's take a quick little commercial break. And
hello?
The word of God to us today. Okay, Bride, one moment.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is soul. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. All right, Bride, this is Dr. June Knight coming back to you tonight. Listen, we are here tonight with Auburn Harris from San Antonio, Texas. Okay, sir, you got the floor. I'm going to put my phone on mute and you go to town.
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking about, you know, this is what I would share. And, you know, this one scripture came to me. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's a familiar scripture. Obviously, we've read it, especially people who are trying to build revival cultures and just really fan the flames of revival. Let's just go through it real quick. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, obviously, that's a tremendous promise. I mean, wow. I mean, for God to hear from heaven, to forgive our sin and to heal our land. I mean, just think what would happen right now if this God just sovereignly decided, you know, I'm just hearing from heaven. I'm just going to forgive all the sin that's in the land. I'm just going to forgive all the sin, and I'm going to heal the land. I'm going to bring prosperity. I'm going to bring right relationships. I'm going to heal fractures. The promise of that is so enormous that that scripture cannot be ignored. I mean, it cannot be ignored because of the magnitude of the impact that would happen to a nation or to a people that receive that as a benefit. But it comes with a condition. There's a condition in that, right? And so the conditions as if my people, okay, right? So the first part of the conditions is that God is going to honor it, or honor the conditions that his people have to put these conditions into effect, okay? So if his people, and he tells what his people have to do, that the call on who will call by his name shall humble himself and pray, seek his faith, turn from their wicked ways. Now, I've heard this scripture preached for many years in my life. The thing I want to highlight now is the word humble. We usually highlight the word prayer. That's what we usually highlight at. Or we usually highlight seek my face or turn from the wicked ways. But not very often do we see the first part of this qualification, this condition here, which is humble. I mean, you can't even do the rest without humility. Humility is such a big part of what it is to bring revival and to have revival, to maintain revival. Because after all, what is prohibiting the church from being what God has called it to be is pride. It's a condition of our heart whereby which we are distant from God, or we can do it on our own, or we have another plan, or we have another thing that keeps us from intimacy, or that keeps us from obedience. And so that condition of the heart is the thing that stops us from being connected and receiving the life of God and staying in the spirit of revival. And then from the place of revival, beginning to minister to the society and the community around us, the life, the power, the presence, the love that God has given us. And so that place, that humility is so key. And it's something that we rarely talk about. We rarely talk about this being the number one most important ingredient in the whole thing. Because, I mean, we can pray, right, and still not be humble, right? We've all prayed prayers, and we weren't really humble in our hearts, and even wax eloquent in our preaching, in our praying. We can even, you know, seek his face and understand that I'm going to go after the presence of God, and I want God's presence, because that becomes something that we brag about, that we have a lot of presence in our services and things of that nature. And even the turning from our wicked ways. I mean, you can think in your mind, well, how can you do that and not be humble? But we can really understand that what I'm doing is not benefiting from it, and I can just turn away from it, right? I mean, sinners do that. Sinners can know that they're an alcoholic and that alcoholism isn't benefiting them, and they can turn from it without humbling themselves toward God. So the church can be involved in all these activities without humbling ourselves, because we can see the benefit that it brings on to us. Right? A scripture in Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." See, when we operate,
come on now, amen.
So what happens is that when we are in that place of humility, we are able to receive instruction. When we're in that place of humility, we're able to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. When we're in that place of humility, we can now begin to operate in faith, because faith depends on God. So if we're not in humility, we're not even in faith. You know, we're just in our own ability to get things accomplished by marketing schemes and strategies and a better program that brings people together around a better sound, a better music, a better this, a better charismatic leader. But yet it's not going to open heaven and cause God to hear us. We want man to hear us, but we need God to hear us. Man can't open the heavens. Man can't forgive sin. Man can't.
Come on now.
God has to hear us, and God hears the humble. Right? Listen to the scripture in James 4:6-10. It says, "But he gives more grace." Right? We just saw that pride brings disgrace. Right? But he says he gives more grace. Right? That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. This whole thing that when God is hearing us and forgiving us, it's a manifestation of favor. God doesn't have to hear us. He's God. But when we are humble, and from that humility, we begin to pray. From that humility, we begin to seek. It says, from that place of humility, we begin to turn from our wicked ways, because he said it was wrong. Not because it's not good for us, but because he said it was wrong, right? Then favor comes to us. Favor comes to us, and from that favor, God now hears. From that favor, God now forgives. From that favor, God now heals the land. But there's an opposition that the church we're in opposition to God, really is what it is. And so we're praying, we're having our plans, we're having our citywide evangelistic meetings, we're doing all of these things, yet the heavens aren't open because we are not, we have not humbled ourselves. We haven't been broken to the place where we say, God, my heart is not right towards you. I'm not right toward the people that are around me. God, I don't love the people that you're putting in the city. God, I don't love the president. I mean, we got people that the Bible clearly teaches us that we should pray for our leaders. Doesn't mean that we agree with the leaders and their policies and things of the nature, but the Bible has clearly taught us to pray for our leaders, right? But how can we pray for leaders that we don't love? We're not broken. We don't love like Jesus loved, because love is going to bring us to that depth of humility and brokenness that is going to open the heaven. Love is the depth of brokenness and humility that the church needs to walk in to regain favor with God and to operate in the full measure. And it looks like something. It doesn't look like what we've been doing lately in social media and all these other things. It looks like people who are genuinely concerned for the souls of people and genuinely love people and extend that love in the way that God loves. Doesn't mean we condone sin. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with every policy. But it should look like love. It should look like love. And it should look like care and concern. And it should look like that we are able to be touched with the infirmities and the sinfulness that's in humanity. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like we've arrived, you know what I mean? And so we can point to this. I understand that you right now you have a difficult job. I understand you have a difficult day. I mean, I barely balance my checkbook at times, right? Let alone the national budget, you know what I mean? So, I can make a measure of humility within my own life. But God will honor that. He said, I will show favor to the humble. If you submit yourself to God, you will be able to resist the devil. It says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we're wanting to resist the devil in our city. We want to break the power of the enemy. We want to pray. We want to come against principalities. We want to stand against these things and these injustices. But we have not yet submitted. If we haven't submitted to God, how can we resist the devil? We don't have the ability to resist because we're operating in the same spirit that the devil operates in.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
And so God said, listen, if you will submit to me, and what submission looks like, it looks like love. That's what it looks like. It looks like love. It looks like you giving your life up. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're my friend if you do what I tell you to do, and what I'm telling you to do is to give up your life. Right? And so in that place, if you can't say in that scripture, I mean, this is such a powerful revival scripture. James 4, 6, and 10. I mean, later on it goes on and says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I like that part right here. I'll end right here with this part right here. I love that part right there. Because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I mean, some days we want God, some days we don't. Some days we love God, some days we don't. Some days we want to love our neighbor, some days we don't. Some days we want the kingdom of God to come in great power and demonstration, some days we don't. And it's all predicated upon what I'm getting out of it. And what God is saying is that, listen, you've got to humble yourself. And that humility looks like love. It looks like loving me with everything that you have and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. By this will all men know that the Father really did send me. It's by love. And it's by laying down our lives in a way that honors the word, that obeys God, that does the things that God has called us to do for the people around us in our community, by truly being people who go after God in our worship, go after God in our relationships, go after God in the integrity of the business actions that we do in our society, and we are demonstrating what it looks like to be broken. It looks like love. And he says right here, he says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Yeah. That's what the church needs. We need a lifting up. And that lifting up is coming as we begin to say, Lord, I don't love. I haven't loved. And I'm humbling myself now, Lord, because I do want to love. I want to love you with everything. God, I've got idols in my life. I've left my first love. Lord, I'm not hungry for you like I used to be. Lord, teach me to love. Teach me to come after you. Teach me to have you as the center of my life. Teach me to have you as the apple of my eye. And, Lord, not only have I but, Lord, I haven't loved my brothers. I haven't loved my sisters. Lord, there are people in my congregation without that I could do for. God, there's people in my city that I could do for that I'm not. There's people that I don't like. There's things that I'm seeing, things in my heart, God, that are toward people. And, God, I'm not allowing you to search me and to go deep within me, God. I'm allowing myself to just be, you know, okay with the measure of love that I have. And you want me to grow and deepen in love. And when the church really comes to that and that really looks like something, man, God's going to hear us. God's going to forgive us. God's going to pour out his spirit on our nation, and we're going to see the fire of God come again, and we're going to see hunger come again, and we're going to see congregations in love with God, so that when people come into our midst, they're going to say, man, these people love God. These people love their God, and they're going to be convinced that what we are carrying is real because of the love that we have for one another, the love that we have for God, and that's what we need. We need the kind of brokenness that causes us to love, that causes us to give our lives for one another and give our lives to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave to the bride today. Yes, Lord, God changes. Let us have that heart, God, where we can stand before the throne and say, I failed you, Lord. I'm not loving people the way that you want me to love them. I do see people hurting, and I'm not acting upon what I see type of deal. But keeping our heart transparent before the Lord and keeping our humility, like you're saying, where we're humble before the Lord and we're not full of pride, God, please help us with that. Okay, bride, listen, God brought him on the airwaves for us today because he wants us to pray for them. And listen, as we sow in prayer to this ministry, asking God to move on their behalf, listen, we are coming in agreement with heaven. Let me tell you, every person that God calls on this earth, it is him that changes the person. We cannot change on our own. We can do nothing without him. When we put our 100% codependence upon God and we allow him to take the pen to finish our book the way that he meant our spirits to live on this earth and to do our destiny on earth, then God takes over, basically. That's why the word says, the footsteps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord, because righteousness follows after the Lord. So we take him, Auburn, and Tahisa Harris. When he said, when he told you his life and he said, you know, I was partying and doing whatnot in the past, that's what his flesh would rather be doing because it's easier. But when we chose to die to our flesh, we give God the pen to our life and say, okay, God, you're my creator. I'm done doing the way things I want to do it. When they did that, God takes over. So listen, what we're seeing today is what God made this man to be. And when we pray, we're coming in agreement with that and asking God to finish what he began. And the bride, we have the honor to come in agreement with him on it. That's what this ministry is about. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and come in agreement with heaven. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing this ministry to the bride today. We thank you for Auburn and Tahisa Harris. Lord, only you know the price that this couple has paid to be where they're at, to be doing what they're doing, and the price that they paid to pick up that cross in San Antonio, Texas. But Lord, the bride across the earth, we say thank you. We just throw our hands up, Lord, coming in agreement with heaven over their destinies and over the mission that you have called them to. Lord, I thank you that there is provision in the vision. So we are coming together in agreement, pulling down everything that this couple needs to accomplish the mission in their city. God, we thank you, Lord, for giving them favor. Favor with the people that come there. Favor with other ministries. Favor with the government. Favor with real estate people. Favor with buildings. Favor with business people that will donate into the vision. Favor with every area that they need, God. We thank you, Lord, for downloading tools and strategies to give them to be able to do what they need to do, when they need to do it, and how they need to do it. We thank you for increasing in the visions, increasing in the prophetic, increasing their ears so that they can hear your voice very clearly. Increasing in the prophetic, meaning operating in all the gifts that you have allotted for them, Lord, that they would be able to use all them to move the mountains they need to move in the spirit, Lord. We thank you, God, that the bride comes together in agreement. Also, your word says when two or more agrees touching anything, it will be answered. And we are coming together in agreement, knowing that our prayer is going to be answered with a yes and amen. So we come together in the spirit over his city, tearing down every stronghold. We tell you, you got to bow to the will of the living God for San Antonio, Texas, because God has a destiny for that city. God has a destiny for that region, and God has a destiny for that state. So we have the honor to come in agreement with you, God, with what you're doing there. So we're telling all the principalities and the powers of there, you got to bow down. You don't have a choice. And we're telling you to submit to the will of the living God. And we thank you, God, for giving these generals charge over that city, that what they say shall come to pass. When they decree and declare a thing, they know they got the bride of Christ behind them saying it as well, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, God, because we all need each other, Lord. We need each other. We need to be in unity, Lord, supporting each other's visions. Help us, God. And, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over them, protection over their family, Lord, as they fight in this army, God. Lord, I pray for his wife. I pray, God, that you give her all of her heart's desires, all of the little things that she wants, Lord, as a pastor's wife. Give her pretty little dresses. Have people pay to get her nails done. Have people pay to get her hair done, Lord. Just the small little things blessing her for accepting what God's doing in her husband's life, Lord. And, God, we pray for the children, God. You bless them with their health. Bless them in their vision, Lord. We call in this generational line, Lord, that they're all warriors in Jesus' name, that no thing from their past shall come against them anymore in Jesus' name. None of the generational line shall come to this family in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We're setting the course. We're reshaping the course for his family, Lord, and for his vision. And we thank you, God, and give you praise, Lord, for his life. And, Lord, we just speak an increase to Auburn all the way around, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for expanding his territory, expanding his region, expanding his vision. Because, you know, Lord, sometimes we think so small, Lord, but you're really so big. And we thank you and give you praise for what you have done in Auburn's life and what you are going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, listen, Auburn, we'd be honored if you'd pray for our ministry and pray for the bride.
Amen. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you, Father, for Dr. Knight, Father. Father, and the things that you're doing through her. Father, we declare faith, Father, right now. Father, we declare an open heaven, Father, right now. Father,
yes,
many
Lord.
More. Father, we declare it now in Jesus' mighty name. We'll begin to open up for her, Father. Father, that you will begin to give her, Father, a vast platform, Father, by which she can do the work that you've called her to do, Father. That you'd begin
Thank
to bring her into a place, Father, Father, of greater influence, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. More authors, Father, more revivalists, more preachers, Father. Father, that this thing, Father, would not even just be relegated to radio, but, Father, it'll begin to go video, Father, and to begin to even stream, Father. Father, there'll be an increase, Father, on every side, Father. Everything you put in our heart to do, Father, let it begin to be accomplished, Father. Let it be a spirit of acceleration and increase coming
yes,
upon
Lord.
Her, Father. Father, in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that, Father, you would begin to give her, Father, that support staff, Father, Father, that can begin to take the load in this area and that area, Father, in this area and that area, Father, that there will be partners and people that will begin to sow into, Father, finances, Father, Father, into
the
ministry that you call her into, Father. Father, I thank you for intercessors, Father, people on the wall, Father, to begin to guard it, Father. Father, that you would keep her in all her ways, Father, right now in Jesus' name. That, Father,
yes,
as these doors open, Father, Father, she comes before many more people, Father. Father, you would give her the wisdom as to what is the divine connection, Father, that is being opened up to her, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And that, Father, that the way would be made straight for her, Father. And that the spirit of revival, Father, would be upon her ministry, Father. Father,
yes.
That even as the airways, Father, even she would release this word over the airways, Father, it will be instrumental and promoting, Father, the next awakening in this nation, Father. Father, for preparing the atmosphere, Father, for the things that you want to do and want to say, Father, to a people, Father, that many ears would hear, Father, the voice, Father, right now, Father. Father, even the voice of revival, Father, that is coming forth, Father, from this ministry, Father. We thank you right now, Father, for undergirding it, Father, keeping it, Father, and sustaining it, Father, until it reaches the destination that you have for it, Father. And we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much for praying for us. Listen, we do receive it. I do need some help because I've been branching off into television, but I can't really go much towards that side because I'm so engulfed in radio. My heart is to have someone that I can trust, you know, that will take radio to the next level and me be able to branch off into the other. So I receive that, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's
okay,
good.
Well, you have a blessed evening, sir. God bless you.
God bless you.
Now, hey, please tell the bride how they can learn more about you and your ministry. Do you have a website?
Yes, you can go to www.metrofiremb.net. And from there, you can reach any of the social media platforms, and all the activities and everything that we're doing there. Our TV
yes,
channel.
Yes, because I was just about to ask what your Twitter handle is.
Yeah. So the Twitter handle is, I don't always. So if once you click on the website, you'll see the social media things. The Twitter handle is MetroFireMB.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much, sir, and you have a good evening.
You too. God bless.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.